Welcome to Emerge the Radio Show. I'm Sam, producer for the Emerge team. Thanks so much for joining us today. This week, we're talking with serial entrepreneur, investor, and Norfolk, Virginia native Chuck Worley of Worley's Home Services. We're also speaking with executive director and CEO of Powerful Expressions, LLC, in Newport News, Virginia, Tawan Maynor. All of that, plus, of course, a divine decision with Dorothea, and DeShana gives us her two cents on finance. Jumping right in this week, we're starting off, as always, with some super helpful tips to help you emerge as a CEO. We're sliding on over with Tiffany into the CEO's corner. Emerge, emerge yourself.
You've made it to the CEO Corner, the only place where you will get tips on how to live your best life and emerge to the next level. Emerge has been around since 2015, and through its ups and its downs, because we've had a few of those, and we even went silent from 2017 to 2022, a long time. What keeps us going are our customers, our readers, and our listeners. They are loyal to us, and guess what? We are loyal to them. Every CEO knows, or should know at least, customer loyalty is extremely important. Customer loyalty is at the heart of growing the business and increasing percentages of profit. Loyal customers will do business with you again and refer others to you. This is so true and important. The very first issue of Emerge was a flop. I didn't think anyone was paying attention or cared about Emerge, so I stopped. Then people started sending messages to me like via LinkedIn and Facebook asking, where is Emerge? When is the next issue coming out? It was so heartwarming and also very eye-opening. Those same customers purchase every issue. They come to the events, they share our posts, they provide encouraging words. Some tips on how to build customer loyalty. Stay in touch with customers through multiple channels. Show that you know the customer. Capture and take advantage of customer feedback. Show appreciation with maybe a loyalty program. Stay relevant to the customer. Know your numbers and measure them often. So remember, customer loyalty is at the heart of growing the business and increasing percentages of profit. And I'm Tiffany Boyle, and that's my tip from the CEO Corner.
You're listening to Emerge the Podcast.
If you would like to partner with us and have your business spotlighted on the show, contact us at emergethemagazine.com.
All right. Well, Chuck was ready to go, so we're just going to let you jump right in and tell us about yourself.
All right. My name is Chuck Worley. My son and I own Worley's Home Services. We are a heating and air conditioning, electrical, plumbing, crawl space encapsulation, insulation, spray foam, pretty much anything having to do with taking care of a house. Any home service that you need, we can pretty much handle it. Kind of a one-stop shop to take care of all your household needs. Pretty much tell people we can do anything but build it. Yes.
How long have you guys been in business?
So we started in 2016. I'm a local boy, got brought here by a Navy chief. My dad was a CB in the Navy, and we were brought here by the Navy and in sixth grade. So I went to St. Pius, Norfolk Catholic High School. I graduated in 1987 from there. Ended up having a short stint at Norfolk State. I went there for 2 years and then ended up transferring to the apprentice school at Newport News Shipyard, which the only reason I got in there, it's a great program. I could not get in that program now. Heck, the only reason I got back in the early or late 80s was because I was a state champ in wrestling, a state champ at track. So they recruited me. So I got in there for sports accolades, not my brain. So I just one of the things I've always figured out in life, I was not going to outsmart you, but I could outgrind anybody. So I just went to work and sports was where I excelled at, not school, but it got me a great program. It got me a great opportunity. I was taught the heating and air conditioning business, how to fix heating and air conditioning systems, and really gave me a great shot at life. I wasn't ready for college. I just wasn't ready. Well, there's immaturity. I mean, I was dyslexic in my youth, barely graduated from sixth grade, barely graduated from high school. Heck, I barely got there to the apprentice school, but I do have it on the wall. I got a degree from the apprentice school. So
that's all that matters.
That's all that matters. That's right. What's the title of the guy that graduated last at Harvard in the doctorate program? His title is doctor. It doesn't, right. It doesn't right. say this is the last guy in line. So, but yeah, it was a great program. I wish there was more people now. Everybody wants their kids to go to college and, you know, do better than they did. And my parents sent me to private school. I mean, they're a blue collar, hardworking class. My mom was a nurse. My dad was a chief in the Navy, you know, senior chief. He corrects me all the time. Senior chief in the Navy.
That's but right. He earned it.
Absolutely. He earned it. I'm very proud of my dad. My parents were just grinders. They both worked. My mom worked second shift so she could be home with the kids during the day and get us off to school. And, you know, we'd work all night while I had two hardworking parents, man. And they taught me a lot. One of the things I always say that my dad taught me was, he said, Chuck, you'll be successful working half days. You just got to pick which 12 you're going to work. 24 hours a day, you got to work half the day. I mean,
it's a lot of hours.
It's a grind. Yeah, it's a grind. You know, I've been very fortunate to have parents that just busted their butts every day. And I just watched it. And I was like, okay, well, that's just what you're supposed to do is go to work. So when I came out of the apprentice school, I did open up my own company in 2001, ran that for about 13, 14 years. There's pros and cons to every story. I'd love to say I never lost at anything. I'd love to say that, but I was married for over 20 years and that did not work out. My went through a nasty divorce back in 2014 and took 4 or 5 years to get everything divorced. And I sold my company to a friend of mine that did not pay what he was supposed to pay. So it forced me into a financial spiral and ended up filing Chapter 7, which is not a reorganization. It is you screwed right. up. You don't owe anybody anything. And right. over the last 7 years, I have gone back and paid back every single person that I bankrupted on. And wow. I just felt like it's a character integrity and doing the right thing is the way my daddy raised me. And it was a tough, tough situation. But I honestly was in bankruptcy court. Crying my eyes out, trying to figure out what in the heck I was going to do after, you know, being 47 and everything being a wreck. And I just got a total peace. And God gave me a word of knowledge that we are going to pay these people back. Now, of course, I was thinking, what are you talking about? I don't have a pot to pee in right now. Like, how are we going to pay anybody back? Like, I can't even feed myself right now, you know? So anyway, I really did. It was like water, like getting under a waterfall. Like, it was just this total peace. And I said, you know what? Okay. God has a plan. Like, God has a plan. It's all going to work out. I wish he blew me in and you in and me in. Like what this plan nice. Is before, you know.
That's not how it works. That's not how it works.
Just let me know a little bit.
Like, yeah, just give me a hint. But you know what? God's got a plan. It's all going to work out. And 2016, my son's a sophomore at CNU. I'm miserable. Going through this bankruptcy, I was just a wreck. And my son's like, Dad, you're miserable. Why don't you just open your own company again? Just start over. I'm like, sure. 47, 48 years old. I'm like, sure. Why don't I just start over? Like, I'm not 22. Like, so he's 22, you know, so it's a little bit harder, you know. So he goes, look, I said, man, payroll, taxes, employees. Chase, I just don't got it. That's 48. I just, I'm not going to do it. He said, look, go get me some business. We'll buy this company. Go get some business and I'll do everything else. Okay. So you'll deal with payroll. You'll deal with taxes. He's 22 years old, double major in accounting and business management. It's probably one of the hardest men you have ever met in your entire wow. life. One thing I did teach him is go grind. I do brag about my son a lot because he's my best friend. I get emotional mm-hmm. when I talk about him. But one thing that I taught him that my dad taught me is you just go to work. He actually went Division I in lacrosse. He was not the biggest. He was not the strongest. He was not the fastest. But I'm going to mm-hmm. tell you, nobody on that field worked harder than my son. And it showed. You don't get a Division I lacrosse scholarship not working hard. So
right,
he went up to New Jersey. He grew up on a farm in Tabb in York, Virginia. So Newark, New Jersey from Tabb farm.
Wow.
It was a culture shock. So it didn't really work out. And he had about 6 surgeries in 4 years on knees and shins.
Oh, my God.
Broke his back. I mean, it's just, you know, lacrosse is, you know, football with a 6-foot pole, you know, so it's a tough sport. But he ended up coming back to CNU and doing really well. Ended up graduating from CNU with a double major in accounting and business management. And at 22, I was like, Chase, you know, you can't do all this work. He was carrying 18 to 21 credits per semester, which is a little bit past full time, right?
He's working
50 hours a week for me. He's playing lacrosse, you know, what he can. You know, his body's breaking down like a 50-year-old already at 22. But so anyway, he's like, I'll just quit school. I was like, look, me and your mom are co-parents. We're friends. She's 100 pounds, but I still fear her. There's no way you can quit school. You cannot quit school. So she. So anyway, he doesn't quit school because, you know, he don't want his dad to get killed by his mom. So we end up, he keeps working. And when he graduates, our company doubles in size. And so basically, I just went out and got business and did the sales and marketing and all that. And then he ran operations and payroll. And I mean, I got a picture of him somewhere. I've been looking for it here lately because I've had this told this story a few times where I go into his dorm room and he's got literally 10 employees payroll on the floor. They're all drinking beer at his dorm watching a football game on a Sunday, and he's trying to figure out payroll and paying invoices. And I'm like, not, you know, when people tell me I can't work and go to school, I just laugh at them. I'm like, it's, you got to want it. Like nothing worth having is going to be easy, you know? So anyway, fast forward, you know, we've gone from 2016. We actually bought a little small company doing a couple hundred thousand a year and had three employees in 2016. We literally tripled the size of that business in 12 months. So we did, you know, somewhere 1.1 to 1.75 the next year. Chase is senior in at CNU. While we're building this business, and it's been an amazing ride. It's been a really amazing ride. We have gone from that to about 75 employees. So in 6 years, we've gone from three employees to 75 employees in 6 years. And that's not the fastest growing company in the country, but we are not.
It's pretty fast.
Yeah.
I know a couple of business owners that take that.
Yeah. It's been very humbling. Like I said, I believe part of our story is we are very much, very, very, very much into building back into our communities. We have tithed. I tithe personally, but on our business, we tithe 10% of all net profits through our business from the beginning, from the first day we opened up our company. That was just something that was real important to me. It was something that I did in my other company. I just had this peace in my heart that was part of what we're going to be doing to improve the 757. Part of the story of what motivates some of these interviews was Lacey, who's been working for us. Y'all may have saw on the news about a week ago. Last year, her house, she started with us. 30 days later, her whole house, entire house, burnt to the ground.
Yes, I saw that.
To the ground. I mean, it was insane. And without hesitation, my son and I are very equally yoked when it comes to helping. And I had a number in mind. He said, what do you think, you know, we can afford to do? Because he runs the numbers. And we both came up with the same number. We wrote her check, got gift cards. We kind of asked, what do you need? Like clothes, Walmart? Like we went and bought some gift cards for her and just because I ain't trying to buy her clothes. Like, I don't know what she
thank you.
I ain't trying to ask a woman what size she's wearing. I know. I am not doing that. My mama didn't raise no fool.
That's right.
I was like, here's a gift card. Here's a bunch of them. So we kind of did that. And she was very grateful because you just don't realize what you don't have when you have nothing. Like you need shoes to go to work. Like it was crazy the amount of stuff that she needed, but we were very blessed to be able to afford to be able to help her. And I really do invest a lot of money into my employees, and whether it's doing training or whatever. I feel like, so here's a trivia question. You're a business lady, right? Business person. So you have 10 years ago, the answer to this question is different than the answer is today. Is it harder to get a new client or a new customer, or harder to get a new employee?
Now,
but 10 years ago, ask that question.
Oh, 10 years ago.
It's a customer.
Yeah.
It's a client. Mm-hmm. Now business has been so crazy. You know, we're so daggone busy. So now we have to take care of our employees. Not that we didn't back then, but like we're more focused on, we're hyper focused on it. I just just have a thing that I call Chuck Filet. We don't work on Sundays anymore. My guys are not working on Sundays anymore because if we got to give these guys a break, man, they're busting their chops. Middle of the summertime, it's 109 degrees and you're 158 degrees in your attic. These guys are working there like crazy. Mm-hmm. We only run our guys 4 or 5 calls a day. Most heating and air guys, plumbing guys, they're running 8 to 10 calls a day. We run our guys 4 to 5. When they get to your house, they're rested. They're not frazzled. They're coming in. Yes, ma'am. What's your problem? Let me help you with this. I know that I got a couple hours that I can help this client take care of. And then at 1 o'clock in the afternoon, they're not frazzled thinking, man, I got 5 more calls to get to. My wife is going to kill me when I get home at 9 o'clock tonight. So you got to take care of the employees now. And that's what we're hyper-focused on, is taking care of employees. And Lacey's a great example of that. Without hesitation, me and my son were like, we want to help. Like, this is a catastrophe. What happened to you? And we're so happy to be able to help her. So with employees, we feel like if we're taking care of the employees, they will take care of my clients. My clients, once we go into the house, they're not calling anybody else. Once you have a great experience with one of my heating and air guys or my plumber or my electrician, why would you? Good luck with Google. Like, that was such a good experience. Why wouldn't I call you? Chuck does electrical, or Chase does, you know, why wouldn't we call it back, you know, to do another service? So taking over the home, and we don't have to get as many new clients because we're keeping the ones we got. And how we're keeping them is by taking care of the employee, 401ks and matches and health insurance and doing the stuff. But the biggest thing, working around, you know, Lacey's schedule. You know, when she was trying to get her kids off to school, she's dealing with no house. She had to find a rental property. I mean, she wasn't coming in till 10, 11 o'clock some days, but she had to work, right? So we were very flexible with her through this transition. I mean, she'll never leave us. She loves us, right? She's like, no one else is going to do that for me, you know? So,
exactly.
And if you know her, she's just a wonderful human being. And I want to do work with great people. I don't want to work with people I don't like. Like, I want to work with people that I like and they like me and they like working together. And because sometimes this job sucks. Like, it's 158 degrees in the attic. Like, it sucks. But you go to another company, it's the same thing. At least if you're working with people that you like, you know, a team effort. Hey, one of the guys, he's up in that hot attic in the middle of summer trying to move something and he needs help. Man, if you like that guy, you're going to go over and want to help him to get him home before 9 o'clock at night, you know, because.
And I thank you for what you're doing, because I'm not going in my attic nor my crawl space.
Right. That's
so
right.
I appreciate you and all of your employees.
I'm your guy. So, yeah, it's and it's I do know great people, great business.
Right.
Great people, great business. You know, who wants to work with a bunch of nerds? You know, I want to work with people that are nice, that I like, you know, and I think we got a great crew of people. Very happy how business has really been doing extremely well. Obviously, the economy is helping, but it's going to start slowing down eventually here, I'm sure. You know, we are in a business that, you know, if your toilet's leaking, you don't really care what the economy's doing. So
you will always be needed.
Yeah, you're going to want us in the house.
Yeah. You are just tuning in, you're listening to Emerge. I'm Tiffany Boyle, along with co-host DeShana Kemp Garnett, and we are listening to the wonderful story of how Chuck emerged through a lot of trials and tribulations, and really him and his son Chase have grown worldly to, you know, exponential greatness. And we are excited that you shared your story with us. And DeShana, do you have anything?
Yeah, so I was thinking, like, hey, Chuck is taking our job. We didn't have to ask you any questions. Your story telling ability is probably one of the best people. Well,
you are sweet.
Interview you because, you know, you laid it all out there. But I said this to another guest we had on the show, and I'm going to say it again. I absolutely love your transparency, because so often when we talk to business owners and entrepreneurs, it's all rainbows and sunshine and the stars, you know, and being an entrepreneur is so great. My social media, I make all this money. And no, it's not always like that. It's especially not at first. There are going to be some years, well, you're going to struggle, but you just got to stick with it. So I so love you for coming on and sharing that, to let people know it's not going to be all great all the time. But when it's great, it gets even better and better, as long as you treat people right and you keep in mind why you do the things you do. So I am so appreciative of your story.
Well, I really am thankful for you saying that. It's, I was telling a friend of mine, I said, man, that sucks that you had to go through all that. And I said, man, I will I am not the person I am today if I didn't go through that. If I didn't go through the divorce, I would not appreciate the relationship I have now. If I didn't go through the problems in business and the nightmares and barely making payroll and being up at Thursday night trying to figure out how in the world I'm going to pay these people tomorrow. You know, if I did not go through that, I would not appreciate now looking back, okay, payroll's a lot bigger now. We're a bigger company and I'm not stressed about it because we have the business to handle it. But if I didn't go through that, I wouldn't appreciate what I have now. And I feel like I do go back to when I was in that bankruptcy court, that when I got that flush of God has a plan, it's going to work out. You just got to keep grinding. You just got to keep grinding. That's my secret to success. Not to outsmart you, just to outgrind you. I figure if I just keep working, it's going to happen. It's going to happen.
Awesome. So Chuck, for those people who maybe just tuned in, tell us again the name of your business and let people know how they can get in touch with you, especially if they want to hear more about your story or they need some work done at their homes.
So Worley's Home Services, we do heating and air conditioning, plumbing, electrical, crawl space encapsulations, insulation, spray foam, pretty much anything home service required at your house. So the way you reach us is 757-215-4075, or the easiest way is callworleys.com. Callworleys.com. You can apply online to get a job with us through our careers program. We have pictures of before and after stuff. You know, we have a portfolio. Heck, we got 75 people. Somebody might work here that you might know. So I will tell you, one of our biggest, I was actually walking through my office with a friend of mine the other day. I was like, with our best referrals are our customers refer us people, nephews, nieces, friends from church who referred, you know, a girl that worked with them or was coming, graduating from high school and didn't know what she wanted to do. So she came to work for us and now she's got a career. Same thing with some of our customers. Our employees refer other employees because they enjoy working for us. One funny story is a friend of mine referred me to somebody. She comes to work for us. She decides she wants to quit her job. Now the person working for me refers me to the person that referred her to our business. I'm like, hey, that's a win. That's a win. But if you take care of the employees, man, you're always going to have people wanting to work for you. And even in my mission and vision statement, it talks about we want to be sought after by customers, but we also want to be sought after by employees. We figure keep taking care of employees, they'll keep taking care of customers, and we'll have all the business we can handle.
Awesome. So before we let you go, we do have one question for you. And that is, what does the word emerge mean to you?
Emerge. I don't know if rebirth is the right word, but emerge kind of feels like coming out of the water, gasping for air. Which is where I was a couple of years ago. I was just gasping for air. So emerge from the depths of hell. It's coming out. A friend of mine described me one time. He said, Chuck, you're like a phoenix rising from the depths of hell. I will never bet against Chuck Worley. And it's going back to the grind. But no, that's what it means to me.
I like it. I think you are in the epitome of emerge. Thank you so much.
Well, I appreciate you guys interviewing me. That was great.
You're listening to the Emerge Podcast.
Follow us on Facebook, search Emerge Radio Show. On Instagram, Emerge the Magazine. And online, emergethemagazine.com. Welcome back. I'm Dorothea Schuler, and you're listening to Emerge Wednesdays, the radio show that's all about entrepreneurs and business and is the premier information source for business owners. If you're just now joining us, Tiffany and DeShana just spoke with Chuck Worley, owner of Worley's Home Services, Get Smart Plumbing, Rose Brothers Heating and Air Conditioning, as well as the owner of It's Just a Drain, Rick's Heating and Air Conditioning, and the Crawl Space Company, which are all located from Yorktown to Chesapeake, Virginia. So if you just happen to miss the wealth of knowledge that he just shared about his success as a serial entrepreneur and business owner, you absolutely and definitely want to take notes while you catch up on all you missed today, as well as listen to any of our previous shows just by visiting emergethemagazine.com. All right, friends, we're still ringing in the new year here at Emerge. Emerge, and I really want to ensure that the first decisions that we make this year will definitely produce the results we're looking for. Our whole lives are based upon a series of decisions, a conclusion or resolution reached after consideration. And divine means excellence. So we're making an excellent choice. And today, guess what? Our divine decision is to be just that, excellent. The dictionary defines excellent as the quality of being outstanding or extremely good. I'm in total agreement. But when I hear the meaning, I do feel there's more. When I think of excellence, I always think of Christ. So I decided to look up the biblical definition as well. And it read, from a biblical perspective, being outstanding or extremely good seem most applicable when it is seen as the pursuit of or abounding in Christ-like virtue. For example, behavior showing high moral standards. Ah, nice. Now we have a practical understanding as well as a spiritual vantage point. So practically, we can take steps that are necessary to rid ourselves of complacency and mediocrity by personally evaluating our behaviors and how we apply ourselves. Truthfully asking, is what I'm doing reflecting excellence? A lot of times, we expect and require things from people that we haven't or aren't willing to do or perform ourselves. You know, we demand exceptional service when we go through the drive-thru, but what about when we're at work, playing on our phones just to burn the clock? Or when we don't make up our beds before we leave our house and then leave with only 20 to 30 minutes to get to work, just enough time to clock in, and then we may incorporate what we would like to get done that day, not too much, because hey, we need time to pay attention to and play on our phones. And hey, I get it. So do you see where I'm coming from? Are we being excellent or mediocre? Now, let me ask you this. Are you expecting an excellent life to develop out of a mediocre effort? Well, that's exactly what we'll have if, again, we don't personally evaluate our decisions and make an effort to make them divine. Many years ago, I came across a YouTube video of a Navy SEAL talking about how it was required of them to make their bed each morning because it was statistically proven that when done so, more than likely, you will continue throughout the day to operate in a manner of excellence. Think about that. Just by making your bed. I want to end this by flipping it around to what I mentioned earlier, the spiritual vantage point. And yes, vantage point. In my life, Christ and only Him has been the vantage point. By reading His word and learning His character, I'm planting seeds of excellence in my spirit that will produce an internal gain. I'll leave you with this. Philippians 3:8 says, "Yet indeed, I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish that I may gain Christ." So join me today and make the divine decision to be excellent, knowing this decision will ultimately help to shape and create a path that reflects a light of excellence in our lives. You're listening to Emerge Wednesdays, and this, my friends, has been another divine decision with Dorothea. And you too can be a part of Emerge Wednesdays by submitting your response to our signature question, what does the word emerge mean to you? Share that with us on our IG at Emerge the Magazine. This week's response is another special one. Like I said, we're still ringing in the new year over here at Emerge. And so it's from our very own finance guru, the chief operating officer of Emerge the Magazine and co-host of the Emerge radio show, DeShana Kemp Garnett. Emerge means the journey to become the best you. Yes, I love it, DeShana. And us at Emerge have definitely been on a journey to become our best. And you can follow DeShana on IG at COO_EmergeTheMagazine. That's COO_EmergeTheMagazine.
All right. Hi, Tawan. We are so excited to have you on the show today. How are you?
I'm fine, and you?
Good, good. Tawan, tell us a little bit about yourself and what you do.
My name is Tawan Maynor. I am the executive director, the CEO of Powerful Expressions, LLC in Newport News, Virginia. I service adults with disabilities. I have a community engagement program. I also have a community coaching program. Our community engagement program consists of one DSP to three individuals where we go into the community daily. We do various activities. Our individuals pick which places they would like to go into the community monthly from their calendars. They fill out calendars and we go different places every day, every month. So they know where they enjoy going. So we pick various activities to go to daily. Our coaching program is a one-to-one individual plus the direct support professional. Go into the community and work on outcomes that they have. Both groups work on their individual outcomes, whether it be, you know, speaking to community people or going places, learning to pay for their items that they wish to purchase, counting the money, things like that.
Now, Taron, how did you get into that line of work? What pushed you to do that?
I left the school system after 20 years. I was a school counselor. I first was a special education teacher for 5 years. Then I moved to school counseling. I've always enjoyed working with individuals with disabilities and just being a helpful individual myself and knowing that we all need help. So I love the environment that I worked in. So I said, you know what? And I knew a couple of other people who kind of opened their own business and I work with them. They were my mentors, so they kind of mentored me into this. And I just stepped out on faith and opened my own.
That is absolutely great. That is what we are all about here at Emerge, the people that stepped out on faith, took a risk and, you know, went out on their own. Like, it's so crazy that, you know, people actually like go out and do that, I think. But, you know, I see all those memes about entrepreneurs and business owners, how, you know, we're a little crazy for going into business for ourselves.
I love it. I have not looked back one day.
Good. So what was like the process like to go from what you were doing before to, you know, having your own business?
Well, you know, working in the school system for so long, I was used to having summers off and kind of working a schedule where I could not be flexible as I wanted to with my daughter. Moving into entrepreneurship, it kind of gave me, like, now I can take my daughter to school. It gave me more time to do both things that I love to do, my family and working with individuals with disabilities.
Nice, nice, nice. So you took your skills that you already had. And then how did you like, so be working for somebody and then owning your own business is two different mindsets, right? What was that learning curve like to actually like run your own business?
Very scary. The whole process was very scary because I submitted my application to the Department of Behavioral Health when COVID had just first hit. So I was like, oh my God, will I ever get approved? And you know, God sends you a sign when your time is up. I knew my time was up in the school system. So it was that anticipation of me being an entrepreneur and doing what I love, but I always said it was in God's timing. So it took me 2.5 years to actually transition from the school to my actual own. And honestly, the paperwork, it's still the same for me. I feel like it's a lot of paperwork when I was at the school. It's a lot of paperwork having my own business. However, I'm in control of it.
Nice, nice, nice. So it wasn't like that much of a learning curve, I guess, just the risk of all the, you have, this is it. What you work for is what you're going to get and live off of.
Right. Yeah, pretty much. I am a go-getter and I do everything by faith. And I believe God gives us times in our life that we transition from places. So that's when you know your time is up. It's time to move.
Right.
He gives you some type of, I don't know, it's a feeling. Like, I guess you have to be faith-based. But I believe time was up. I stepped out on faith and it has been working in my favor ever since.
Juan, I think you touched on something that I know a lot of business owners and entrepreneurs are able to relate to. When you know your time is up at a job, right? When you feel that you are not walking in your purpose, it is nothing that job can do to keep you, to make you
nothing.
Motivated to want to stay.
Nothing.
I know people who their job, you know, they were such high performers. They have gotten thousands on thousands of dollars of bonuses. And they're like, no, they just walked away into an employee, right? A person who has an employee mindset. That sounds absolutely crazy. Like, why would you walk away from money? But I'm like, hey, if you're not in your purpose, if you're not in alignment, it's nothing you can do for that job if you are not fulfilled. So I completely get it. When your time is up, when it's time to go, it's time to go.
It's the fulfillment. You are absolutely right. That fulfillment you're not getting that fulfillment anymore. It's time to go. And I think people get complacent with the money, like you said, and just being, this is what I'm used to doing, going there and kind of regurgitate the same thing over and over and over every day. And to me, I like to learn new things. I like to do new things. And to me, that would get boring. But I guess if someone's pushing hundreds and thousands of dollars to you, that's where people get complacent. But you're not doing what you love, then you're not living.
Yes, if you are not doing what you love, you are not living. So when it comes to a job, I always have a mentor. He says that you do enough so you don't get fired, and they pay you just enough so you won't quit.
Right. So the money factor will keep you.
But when you
God says move, it's nothing that will keep you.
Yes. But on the flip side, when you have a business in the beginning, did you feel like, all right, I'm working. Where's the money? Like,
the money. Absolutely. I was blessed to have my husband, so I did not pay myself. I've only been in business since I was approved last January to open the business. I opened in April to take my first individual. I didn't pay myself all last year. So all last year, it was definitely a financial struggle for me, but I had my husband, you know, I had my parents. I had a very good support system that was like, you know, if you need something, let us know. I'm here to support you. But I still felt the because I was so used to getting my check every month, paying my own bills, you know.
Yeah.
So it was definitely an adjustment. And yes, many days I was like, oh my God, I need my check.
But I will say, I completely love your transparency for you to kind of talk about that struggle of the beginning and how, you know, when you started, you weren't even paid for a year. Because let's be real, in the day and age of social media, you know, everybody makes being a business owner and an entrepreneur, most people, they make it look like this glamorous thing and the bling and this. And I'm like, we know you ain't got it all the time. Like, it's okay.
It's okay.
You get it, but you just don't have it right now. So the fact that you were just completely open and honest, oh my God, tell us some more. Like, we need to hear more.
No, I mean, the struggle, it was really real in the first year because you're putting out money and you're not really making any yet, you know? So you're putting out more than you're actually getting, and not only financially putting out, but you're putting out your time and your energy.
Yes.
Because me, for myself, I was working 7 days a week, long, long hours to make sure my paperwork, my building, my binders, everything was sufficient for licensure. So you put in a lot of time, not just financially, but also time, your personal time, because I was working, when I was working at the schools, I was working from 7 to 2. 7 o'clock I get there, 2 o'clock I'm leaving. Now, 9 o'clock I get there, I probably leave around 5:30, 6 o'clock, you know, every day at my business. But when I tell you it does not feel like you're working because you're doing something you love, I really genuinely mean that.
I can tell by the passion in your voice. Yeah, yes, we can. And if you are just tuning in, you are listening to Emerge. I'm Tiffany Boyle, along with DeShanna Kemp Garnett, your co-host. And we are here talking with Tawan about how fulfilling it is to be your own boss. So Tawan, let us know how we can get in contact with you, reach out to you.
Okay. My business is Powerful Expressions, and we're located 739 Thimble Shoals Boulevard in New Pernus, Building 1000, Suite 1011F, and my number is 757-343-4479. If you have any questions, please reach out. If you're looking for some employment, please reach out. I am desperately looking for qualified individuals to work with and support, you know, the individuals that I already have.
What are the job titles and like the qualifications?
So the job titles will be a direct support professional working with either side, the community engagement side or the community coaching side. I am currently waiting for licensure to be approved for in-home supports. Or if you have a family member or know any individuals that's interested in the program, I'm willing to speak with them. I have brochures, I have cards for DS, but sorry, back to the direct support professional. 18 years or older, high school diploma, and I prefer that you do have some experience with working with individuals with disabilities, CPR certified, and I can, you know, I do a lot of training of my staff and myself also coming into the company.
I hope everybody got that information, because I don't want anybody calling me after this interview. What did Tawan say? What? Well, I'm like, No, sir, no, ma'am.
Just give them my number. I will gladly speak with them myself.
All right, give them the number one more time.
Okay, it's 757-343-4479.
Awesome. She is hiring. Reach out. That's one of the plus sides of being an entrepreneur and business owner. We can give out opportunities to other people.
Yes, and yes, I love it. Just to be a blessing, yes.
All right, now, is there any social media you have for your business that you want to share?
I'm currently working on my website, so I don't have any currently. So no, unfortunately, I don't have anything right now.
No worries. Once you get your website up and running, just make sure you tag Tiffany and I.
I definitely will.
Absolutely. All right. So it's come to that time. It's been such a pleasure talking with you, Tawan, but I get to ask you my favorite question, which is, what does the word emerge mean to you?
So emerge means to me to, it got a little fire behind it, like to go into the universe and to be great, to emerge. And I'm not supposed to use the word, but to be powerful, learn new things, do different stuff, grow. You know what? Just one word, grow. Emerge means to grow.
And there you have it. Emerge means to grow.
I like it. And I like how you said you're not supposed to use the word in the definition.
I know, it's like, I'm not supposed to use it, but yeah.
But a lot of people do that, and that's what I think inside my head. Like, you're not supposed to use the word, but you know, you said the green word. So thank you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for sharing with us today.
Thank you guys for having me. And if you need anything, please reach out to me and let me know how I can be helpful to you.
We will do, and vice versa. Yeah.
Thank you. Appreciate you.
Follow us on Facebook, search Emerge Radio Show. On Instagram, Emerge the Magazine. And online, emergethemagazine.com.
I am DeShana Kemp Garnett, and it's time for My Two Cents. Hello and happy Wednesday. Welcome back to another episode of My Two Cents. And today I'm going to rest right where wisdom meets wealth. So today's beacon of truth is risk comes from not knowing what you're doing. So educate yourself. You need to use knowledge as your shield against financial storms. Dive into the ocean of understanding, because when you know, you grow. What we cannot ever do is gamble with our finances. We have to empower ourselves. Remember, the best investment is in your own education. I'm DeShana Kemp Garnett, and that's My Two Cents. I am DeShana Kemp Garnett, and it's time for My Two Cents. Hello and happy Wednesday. Welcome back to another episode of My Two Cents. And today I'm going to rest right where wisdom meets wealth. So today's beacon of truth is risk comes from not knowing what you're doing. So educate yourself. You need to use knowledge as your shield against financial storms. Dive into the ocean of understanding, because when you know, you grow. What we cannot ever do is gamble with our finances. We have to empower ourselves. Remember, the best investment is in your own education. I'm DeShana Kemp Garnett, and that's My Two Cents. A special thank you for the guests on today's show. To listen to past episodes of the Emerge Radio Show, visit EmergeTheMagazine.com.
You've been listening to the Emerge Radio Show. All opinions expressed on this show are that of our guests and may or may not be shared by the Emerge Radio Show staff. Follow us on Facebook, search Emerge Radio Show. On Instagram, Emerge the Magazine, and online, emergethemagazine.com.